Hello, Potters, and welcome to episode 154 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Hope everybody enjoyed their Halloween. We are recording this after the holiday. After all of the clearance sales are done, hopefully you guys were able to pick up some supplies. I know the spirit near me is already gone.
Oh yeah, those things are long dismantled now. They can still buy online.
Yes, you can still buy online, and I know, oddly enough, some of the retail stores still have stuff in their clearance sections.
Mm-hmm. They're trying really hard to dump them out. I'm surprised they didn't get them out sooner.
Weren't discounted enough.
Yeah, it needs to be, especially at Joann's. Joann's had some really fun and cute stuff this year that I was considering buying, but even at 50% off, I was like, no. No.
70 or 80.
Exactly. Like, your pillow is still not worth $39.99. Thank you very much.
So if, of course, you're looking for Halloween supplies, by this point, they should be 70 to 80% off because it is November 10th. So it's been almost 2 weeks since Halloween.
Can't even believe it's been that long. This year is just flying by.
Indeed. And we also just finished conventions like BlizzCon, and PAX Unplugged is coming up next weekend. So there's still all sorts of things going on. Even though we are getting toward the end of the year, of course, conventions never stop.
It's one every weekend. Oh,
at least one every weekend. Also, ANT is coming up in a week. All right. So with that, let us talk about our cosplay updates. Ladies first, because I ain't a lady.
Ah, I ain't a lady either. I've been told I'm a dude, so, you know. But everybody's a dude.
On the internet.
On the internet, yeah, that's so true. Because I was at BlizzCon last week, oh god, it was only last week. Feels like it was just yesterday because it was still so amazing. Review on that later. I don't really have any updates to give because of BlizzCon. Like, as soon as I came back, unpacked a few things. Really all I'm doing is I'm just organizing my space, and I'm actually just doing a complete clear out of my entire area. So I did that today as my crafting area is completely clean now. I'm back to square one. It's nice. It's awesome. And I'm just going to steadily make my way around the room and clear out the closets and whatnot. All for the sake of cosplay, because I have a bunch of stuff I just need to get rid of badly. That's really all I've got. I has nothing. I has BlizzCon stuff. That's all I got.
Which we will be covering here shortly.
Woo!
But I do have something I want to show you guys. Because I actually got a lot of cosplay work done this week.
Amber was not a slacker. I was a slacker.
Well, it wasn't so much that, you know, I haven't been slacking. It's that I actually just finished another symphony concert because I have a part-time job as a symphony musician on the side. So when I'm, you know, not working on cosplay, it's not because I don't want to be working on cosplay. It's because I'm frantically learning new music or doing stuff for work because I'm also studying. But, of course, this is the corset for my Sky Paladin, which is actually now done.
Yay!
Everything's all finished. But what I wanted to show you guys was the closure on the back. Because normally when you have a corset, you use a busk or you use traditional hardware to close it in the back. And I learned this technique from Meow About Crafts, who are really good people. You should check them out. But if I can show this up close with my camera.
Yeah, we got it.
You can see that there are no grommets. There are no holes. Nothing. And this lovely thing right here is ribbon. So basically, you would thread through the ribbon with your cord, your tie. And it makes it nice and adjustable in the back, but I didn't have to punch holes through my fabric, nor did I have to deal with angering my downstairs neighbors as I was using one of the anvils that you use to punch eyelets. So basically, what you do with that technique is you take a piece of ribbon, and this is, of course, grass grain that I have painted black, because I'm about to do this technique again here very, very shortly for another project. But you basically take it, and you start bending the ribbon back and forth like this, and then you pin it to the fabric, and you kind of adjust the loops to whatever size you want them to be. And then you just stitch the ribbon down, and you put a piece of bias tape or hem tape or basically something over the top to cover it, and then you stitch that down for additional strength and to make it look nice. And it ends up working out really well, and it's very cheap, and it's adjustable. You can make the loops whatever size you need them. So I really like that technique. It's very cool. And I now use it pretty much on all the things where I need an adjustable opening for anything. So I'm going to take the corselet from my ranger costume. I'm going to remove the zipper because it doesn't fit around me anymore. And I'm going to do that with my grass grain. And you always want to use a good strong ribbon because it's going to undergo quite a bit of pressure. And normally grommets are metal for a reason. So that was awesome. And I finished the skirt, which unfortunately is not sitting anywhere close to me. But I went ahead and stitched all of that together. And I can actually show you guys this. Where's the screen share button? There's the screen share button. Yeah, share the entire screen. Yay.
And it is on you. So, hi everybody, you can see me again. Oh, let me go this way. Hi. I'll get out of the way.
There, but you guys can see hopefully the photo.
Yes, they can.
Yes, and that is the bolero that I've also finished, and
It's very bedazzled.
I'm doing practice layouts with it because I haven't figured out what I want yet. Whether it looks, too ostentatious or not enough, or, basically, do I leave it alone? Do I add things? It's always the cosplayer's dilemma. How much of this do I add and how much of this do I not?
Right.
There we go.
I was actually
So,
doing that with a friend the other day too. She was in the process of doing that for her Weiss costume from Ruby, and she's doing a lot of like really funny, shiny, blingy things on it. It's appropriate for Weiss too. And at one point she put so much stuff on it, we were like, dude, you gotta pull it back a little. You can over bling.
yes, and with this, I solicited feedback and two of the people who responded were like, yeah, it looks great. Don't change it. And then the third person was like, oh, well, maybe it's a little too much. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of what I thought too. But I always like to get feedback because, people's perceptions are different. And so I ended up removing the large blue gems and I put the little blue sequins back in their place so that it's a little bit less in your face about it. And I also retooled the chain portion because this outfit will not have a necklace. I can't. It's a high-necked collar, so I can't wear a necklace. So it kind of acts as one.
Oh, okay. That's cute.
So that's, I mean, I've basically got all the parts of the outfit done. I do eventually need to sew a shirt and pants, but I have things I can wear underneath it for right now. Just plain black turtleneck, plain black slacks. And I can wear that to fair once I glue all of the blingy things down. And figure out where the heck I'm going to put pouches to carry things.
Good luck with that. Pouches are amazing.
Pouches are wonderful things. So what I'll probably end up doing is sewing a short harness system that will go underneath where I can hook pouches. So I got that done. I finished the dress mock-up for Zelda, which again is not. I can't reach it on my sofa where it's sitting right now. But it is a little bit poofy. It's a little bit roomy, but I'm okay with that. I'd rather it be roomy than not enough. So I will go ahead and dig out my red sateen and I will cut it. And then I will start on the apron. Oh, the apron. I have to go and purchase some suede to use for the applique. That way, it does not ravel, and I don't have to worry about doing satin stitch on it. I can just do a straight running stitch on it.
I was about to say you could use some of the suede that I have, but the colors I have will not work. They are not Zelda colors.
It's actually all going to be painted silver.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to use the
No.
suede for silver painting.
No,
It's so pretty on its own, you do not want to paint it.
I may have some spare suede actually from my Arwen costume.
Okay.
But because it's all in Christmas colors, the overdress will be red, underdress will be white, apron will be red, like
Yeah.
straight red,
Straight
and then the
red.
applique will be silver and white. And then I have all the armor patterns cut out, but I'm running out of foam, so I have to wait to do the armor. I redid the armor for my Sky Paladin. I just have to buy spray paint. Which. Of course, life got in the way again, as it always does, in that apparently I need sinus surgery, which will cost me a few thousand dollars. And my car battery actually tested literally one tick above dead.
Oh, geez.
It was like he showed me, it was as far down as the dot would go without actually being dead. So I ended up having to spend $200 to get an oil change and a new battery put in.
Woo!
Which it's one of the nicer batteries. It's not one of the, go to Walmart, only last you 1 year batteries. This is a 5 year
Right.
battery. Yeah, this is a nice battery, and they'll prorate it for me so that if it dies early, then they'll credit me for it. But it was still an unexpected
Expense,
expense.
yeah.
So it's like, well, I guess my other cosplay, I'm just not going to be able to buy more materials for the time being. I just got to use up what I got. It's unfortunate, but that's just what happens when you're an adult. But at least I got some progress done, so there is that.
You got a lot of progress. I actually personally like the first set of gems that you did. I think that looked really, really nice.
It may end up being too much because you don't see the corset, which would be done the exact same way. That's going to be a ton of gems, like everywhere.
I'm all about the bling, though. So the more, the merrier. Jeez.
Well, I mean, I'll try a couple of other things before I finally tack gems down, because gems are kind of similarly to the adage in fabricking, measure twice, cut once.
Exactly. You're going to keep playing with
So
it until you find
I
something
do
you
my
really
layout until I like it and
Exactly.
I'm happy with it. I'm okay with it. Then I will glue things down, because theoretically, once you glue them down, they should not come back up. Should.
Air quotes.
I know. But that has pretty much been all of my cosplay progress. I did good. And I took apart all the old chainmail pieces from my blue sapphire Renaissance outfit. So this is the remaining, what is this? The Queen's Triple? No, Queen's Crown chain weave. So now I just have an empty necklace because I took off all the dangles.
You'll find a reason to use it.
Oh, I always find ways of using beaded things everywhere.
You do.
Mean, hell, I use dangles on the on my curtains, which you can't really see, but I wove chainmail curtain holders.
As one
My
would
tie
do.
backs are chainmail. And they have all sorts of nice chain dangles hanging from them. It looks nice.
Chain
They
dangles.
are literally like the chain you buy at Joann's. It is
Yeah.
literally chain with a teardrop crystal on the end of it.
That stuff comes in handy, guys. You don't understand.
Hey, cosplay skills apply to home decor as well. Because home decor, curtains, I made the curtains as well. So there's all sorts of fabric craft with home decor.
I've made a lot of pillows because of cosplay.
I mean, you have chain poles on your lamps, those can be chain mail too.
Anything could be chainmail at this point.
All right. So, of course, as we mentioned, BlizzCon was this last weekend, and Val was there the whole time. Lots of pictures.
questionable.
Well, there were, in general, there were lots of pictures taken at BlizzCon, because we've seen them all in our feeds. There were some really insane costumes, especially the ones that we saw at the costume contest for BlizzCon.
Because it's
But,
Blizzard.
of course, you have the full review.
All right, so here's the TLDR version. It was awesome. Here's the long version. It was awesome, and I hope I get to go back again. It was just that beautiful and brilliant. Okay, so for those who don't know, BlizzCon is a 2-day convention that focuses on all things Blizzard games. So that's World of Warcraft, Hearthstone, Overwatch. Basically, they're six or seven properties right now. And what they do is they make all their big announcements there, any new expansion packs, new games, new characters that they're adding, new game modes. And then they also let attendees go out on the floor and actually try this content before anyone else gets a chance to experience it. So it was pretty cool. And this year they had some major announcements that they didn't have last year. So now I'm really thankful that we went this year instead of last year. But last year would have been great because Weird Al Yankovic was their closing concert, and I love Weird Al. So. But Muse was just as amazing, so it was okay. I was okay with that trade. So from an attendee perspective, this was my first time going. I like one or two things about Blizzard. Like, I'm a huge Diablo fan. Like, I love Diablo games. I love the lore of Warcraft. Not a WoW player, really. I tried a couple times and just it never really captured my attention. But I appreciate the game. I appreciate the styles of the characters and the costumes. And I really, really love cosplayers and what they come up with to make those characters come to life, because Blizzard stuff is just way out of this world, like crazy pauldrons and weird colors. And it's just insane. And I think a lot of what cosplayers had to do to make this stuff happen has really transitioned and made these great tutorials for us. We have Warblood that's readily available and thermoplastics, mostly because of freaking Blizzard and their crazy ass World of Warcraft armor. So it was cool to see that. I would say it's definitely a convention where if you are not a fan of Blizzard products, you're probably not going to like the convention, because all they do there is showcase Blizzard stuff. It's not like PAX, where they have a bunch of other vendors and video games come in for you to demo and display. Even games like Destiny 2, which is now available on the Battle.net app, which is Blizzard's online stuff. It's for PC players. They didn't have a demo of Destiny 2 there because it's not their game. They're just hosting the game through their Battle.net. So it's strictly 100% Blizzard. And if you know nothing about Blizzard, you are not going to like BlizzCon. It's just straight up like that. The only exception to this is if you happen to live in the area and you're curious about the cosplay, most of the cosplayers end up staying outside because that's where they can get their photos taken. And that's all free. So if you're curious about the costumes, at least you can at least go up and see the costumes, talk to the cosplayers, interact with them. I think we ran into Jessica Nigri 3 or 4 times because of that. And that's because Blizzard has a very antiquated photo policy. It is the stupidest photo policy I have ever heard of. It's on the level of Wizard World, which is basically you cannot have any professional photography or video equipment in the convention center. And the problem is what one considers professional could vary from person to person. And even the convention staff members, this wasn't Blizzard staff, this was convention staff, as they were doing bag check, they wouldn't even let some point and shoots in because they looked professional. So it was really tricky to try to get decent photos inside the convention center. I had to rely on my phone, which is not that great of a camera in general, and that sucked a lot. I was hoping to do some streaming with my actual camera. That did not happen in the least bit. So I'm really happy I left my DSLR at home, because it was not going to pass through security. First day, my mirrorless didn't make it in. Second day, I didn't have a problem, so I don't know what happened. So yeah, cosplay stuff was mostly outside and at the cosplay contest, and that kind of sucked. It would have been nice to run into some of the characters while you're walking around the show floor. And the reason I say that is because Blizzard does a really great job of taking their games and making them come to life. So each section of the convention center is set up to replicate one of their games. So they have like a World of Warcraft section, an Overwatch section, Hearthstone section, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they use those spaces to try to make the games come to life. So they had a Dark Moon Fair, which is something that was in World of Warcraft. So they had like tarot card readers, face painters, magicians, I mean, other random things that you would find at a fair. They were there. They dimmed the room. They put up a bunch of lights. They had some cool statues and props. All of the booths were made out to look like actual booths from the game. I mean, that was really, really cool that you could get so immersed into it. The same thing with the Hearthstone section. They use the entire area to turn it into a tavern, because Hearthstone takes place in a tavern. You're playing a card game in a tavern with your opponent. And they also had booze there. Just the way that everything was set up, it was very interactive. You could immerse yourself. And they even did this with the stages too, because Blizzard is known for having really, really big gaming tournaments. And this year, all of the world tournaments for Blizzard took place at BlizzCon. So the stages were a key focal point in every single section. And I thought QuakeCon stages looked amazing. BlizzCon blows them out of the water. They are just absolutely diehard gorgeous. I don't know how else to explain it. It just looks like you stepped into the game the second you get on those stages. They're just so detailed, so immaculate. I mean, you could tell even from the competitors, like their eyes lit up when they sat on these stages because they were like, I am in my game. This is so cool. So yeah, that was just as enjoyable as walking around and seeing all the different sections. And really, other than getting a chance to try out the games, they actually had some pretty good panels. There were two cosplay panels. I didn't sit on them because time-wise, they just didn't fit very well for me. But I do have the virtual ticket, so I'm going to plan to watch it later. The panels themselves were actually really interesting. The developers take their time to actually go out and talk to the audience. So they always had a Q&A at the end of every single panel, which was cool. But they even do like a lot of behind the scenes stuff. So they'll show some rare screenshots and like wireframe work, ask people about their opinions, what they want to see in the game, what they try to implement some of their suggestions in the game. So that was kind of nice to see that they were very willing to go out and talk to people, not just be like this blank face of a company. Like they actually enjoy being out and about. I mean, even their signing sessions were really fun to get a chance to talk to them one-on-one. So that was cool too. Okay, I think that's as far as main BlizzCon stuff. So let's talk about the cosplay contest, which is called Community Night. I'm an idiot. I did not know it was called that. In my defense, it's not listed anywhere on the schedule as cosplay contest. It's called Community Night with zero details whatsoever. So I was just kind of like, I know nothing. And I had to ask several people to figure out that the cosplay contest was Community Night. It's like, oh, why is it called Community Night? It's because they showcase other stuff too. Apparently there's an art contest, a movie contest, and a talent contest. I was like, oh, that's a bunch of community stuff coming together. That makes more sense.
It's a talent show, basically.
It really is. And I was like, oh, okay. So I get it now. Cool. So they actually changed it up this year. Because I remember in years past, at least with the cosplay contest portion, because that's really all I watched, is they would do the whole contest at once. And it was just walking people out, pose, blah, 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 blah. This year, they kind of interspersed it. So you had cosplay and then the talent show and then another section. So it broke it up into four segments. It did take a little bit longer. And towards the end, I was kind of like, okay, let's get on with it. But I think the flow ended up working out a little bit better for them. And it gave you a chance to really appreciate all the other art forms too. Because I think they know that their biggest draw is the cosplay contest. And people probably start leaving afterwards. So kind of starting and ending with cosplay kind of helped keep them in their seats. Also helped that Chris Hardwick was the host because he did a nice job. That was fun. So yeah, just sitting there and watching the contest, it was just amazing to see all these crazy costumes up close and walking the stage. Because you think that they're amazing on the live stream, and then you see them in front of your eyes and you're just like, how?
I mean, if you think World Cosplay Summit is good, like these people, there is no comparison because these people spend a year or more on one costume for this contest. And they put their very literal blood, sweat, and tears, and usually a lot of money and top tier material into these costumes that they painstakingly make to look like you walked out of the game.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, BlizzCon comes pretty darn close to, you know, World Championship of Cosplay level. Not World Cosplay Summit, but like all costume championships. Like BlizzCon comes really close to being the pinnacle.
It's crazy to see the things that cross the stage. And the woman who won first place, she said in a post that she made about it, she literally started on her costume the first day after last year's BlizzCon. And she'd been working on it a year straight. And it shows. It absolutely shows she deserved that prize 150%. So yeah, just seeing everything up close, it's intimidating, but at the same time, it's just awe-inspiring. You're like, wow, normal human beings made these things. These are not digital replicas. This is an actual living, moving, breathing thing. It is really freaking cool. There's no other way to describe it.
And they weren't paid to do this by Blizzard. They did it because they love the game.
Yeah. That's really all it is. And I think that's why I enjoyed it so much, was that everybody at BlizzCon was just so open and welcoming and friendly. I mean, yeah, you do get the couple of bad apples here and there. That just happens. But you could stand in line and become line buddies with somebody almost instantly. We found a partner for our raid group to try out the World of Warcraft expansion that they're working on. We just found a guy. We were like, hey, we need a tank. We just need a tank. Some guy raised his hand. He became our line buddy for about an hour and a half. And it was great. We learned all about him. We met some great people from Japan, South Korea, Sweden, Austria. And it was just like, it was so nice. It was just nice because I'm not used to getting that type of experience at other conventions. It was just, everybody was so accepting of one another. And I think because we're all different types of people who like Blizzard stuff. I mean, there's just no barriers to playing these games. It's really great. Back to the cosplay contest. The one thing I wish that they had done, and I know this would have taken them a little bit more time, is that they didn't give the cosplayers enough time to really stop and pose. They just kind of kept marching them through really, really fast. The announcer was going through their names like crazy. And they're typically a lot faster than normal contests because it's usually pretty fast year after year. It's just this year in particular, it was just bam, bam, bam. And I was like, you know, at least give the cosplayers a couple of seconds to show off their costume before you start calling up the next person. Because it just felt, I don't want to say disrespectful because I don't think it was disrespectful. I think it was just them trying to manage their time a little bit better than years past. So I get that. It just, you know, they took all this time and energy to make their costumes. Let them have a couple of seconds to really show it off, not just to the people who are watching in the audience, but to the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people watching online as well. I mean, let them show off their work a little bit. So yeah, I mean, overall, easily one of the best events I have ever attended. I would go back in a heartbeat. If I could go back right now, I totally would. It was worth every freaking penny. And I say this literally, I don't know if you can see this. It was worth every penny. I know it's backwards, but that's okay. It says $421.82.
Oh no, it's right side up on our screen.
It is, okay, cool. Because on mine, it doesn't look like it.
No, it's right side up on our side.
That's what I spent just at their store. Worth every penny. And the fact that it's located across the street from Disneyland, not a bad thing. Definitely spent a little bit of money there. May have gotten myself a new Christmas ornament. Totally worth it. Yeah, best event ever.
So I think that is a ringing endorsement, Potters, for you guys to also attend BlizzCon next year. However, if you plan on attending BlizzCon next year or in the future, do bear in mind that it is very similar to Comic-Con in that tickets go very quickly and hotels also go insanely quickly. So if you're planning on going, you have to be on it and ready for when they announce and when they go on sale. So keep that in mind.
Best con. I'm still saving my receipt because it just amuses me. I've never spent that much money before, ever. Maybe on a car payment. That's depressing. Oh, goodness.
Always spending money on everything. It's the cosplay way. Nothing is free.
What's so funny, though, is that I keep looking at my receipt going, like, how did I spend this much money? And I keep looking around the room going, like, because I didn't bring home a lot of stuff. I made sure to pack it so that I had my very large suitcase, and, like, that half of that suitcase was completely empty, specifically for swag. And I got quite a bit of free stuff there, too. So it wasn't like I spent to get a whole bunch of things. But the things I did get were, like, big expensive items. I got myself a really nice travel bag that I'm going to be using in the future. Loads of pockets, lots of space, but it fits within TSA guidelines. So I'm totally going to be able to use it in the future. And I'm like, totally works on that. I got an art book for my brother, and it was one that he really, really wanted. It just happened to be thick. So that took up a lot of space and money. Yeah, a lot of the things that I got were just big, or they cost quite a bit of funds to get them, but they didn't take up like a whole lot of space. So I didn't come home with like 100 items. I came home with like 20.
Makes sense. All right. So with that, we will go ahead and bring to a close this episode at 154 of Cosplod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Hope everybody is having an awesome time working on their costumes for PAX Unplugged, as well as Anime North Texas and Texas Renaissance Festival, which will be coming to a close here in a couple weeks as well. Other than that, we will see you guys in episode 155. Happy holidays. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Remember, everybody, to check us out on all of our social media platforms, Boop, where we'll be listening 24/7, and we will soon have a Discord up. I'm working on it. Yay, us. Bye, guys.